The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" As they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." He answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. The first church where I was called to as pastor was Peace Lutheran Church in Gibsonville, North Carolina. It was a beautiful little country church nestled in between Greensboro and Burlington, and it was surrounded by tobacco fields. It was picturesque. It had wood siding and hunter green shutters that actually worked. The windows were blown glass because the building was built in the 1800s. And the average age of that congregation was about 75 years old, which was kind of ironic since I was 25 years old when I was ordained. And I was the one with all the authority, or so I thought. I mean, I had just graduated from seminary, you know, college, seminary, graduation, approved by the synod, and then called by the church to serve as the pastor. Now, some seminarians come right out and decide to fix the world, much less their congregation. But being a preacher's kid, my father actually said to me, "Boy, don't you go in there and make a bunch of changes." And I didn't. But there was one change that I decided to make. Many congregations have hymn boards on the side of the walls where everybody can look forward and see the number of the hymn so they know where to find it in the hymnal. But older churches had a little more information than that. On one side of this church, there were the hymns, and on the other side was information. That's where you found out how many members the church had, how many of those decided to show up at worship the Sunday before, and how much money they had given. I was never a big fan of this board, because to me, it felt like that you would just It was no different than putting your Social Security card and your bank statement on your refrigerator at home so whoever showed up could see it. You know, because when guests come into your church, what they really want to know is, oh, well, how many people decide to show up and how much money do they give? No, that's sort of family information, right? But to make matters worse, it would affect the mood of the service. If things went well the Sunday before, then chances are that service would go great. But if not, people would literally pout throughout the entire worship experience. I had one guy that if giving was bad, would sit on the back row with his arms crossed for the entire worship service and just storm out when it was over. So I brought this concern to council, and because I was new and in charge, they took it down. And everything was great. Until the first congregational meeting that I experienced. Congregational meetings aren't generally something that pastors look forward to because you never know what's going to happen. Well, we went through the election of the council members, And then, after that, we decided on our budget, which was always an interesting experience. Just then, as we were about to finish, one gentleman stood up and said, I think we need to vote on that board coming back so I know how much people gave. And it went to a congregational vote. And it was 26-26. And the deciding vote was the council chair. So the next Sunday, the hymn boards were right back up where they left off. And I learned something important that day. Authority is not something that can be claimed. Authority is given. And it's interesting who gives the authority. Think about the authority that you have in your life. Maybe your parents and you have authority over your children. Maybe you have people under you at work and you have authority. Maybe you own property and, well, it's your property. And you think you have authority, and maybe you do. But think about this. Let's say that you are at work and you get a promotion. So one day, you're working hand in hand with these people, and the next day, you are their boss. Now, who gives you the authority? Well, of course, the authority came from above to give you the promotion. However, the people that you are working with, some of them may have already seen you as someone they look up to. And so when you tell them to do something, they'll gladly do it. Others still see you as the buddy that they were hanging out with the day before. And they don't feel the need to do what you have to say. What about children? Sometimes they think you're their authority. Sometimes you find out different, don't you? And let's be honest. When it comes to parents and children, most parents have authority at some point, but it never lasts forever. Because I can assure you that if my mother called up and grounded me today, I probably wouldn't care and would do whatever I wanted to. Because that authority is no longer in place. So you see, authority is given, but not just from above. Authority is given by the people who answer to that authority. You, the people who have authority over you, is something that you give to them. Right? We choose who has authority over us. Now, granted, if we don't listen to some authorities, it bears consequences. But if I went outside today and someone told me to take out the trash that I'd never met before, I don't have to do that. But if my wife tells me to take out the trash, it would probably be a good idea to take out the trash, because in my marriage vows, I gave her that authority. Because authority is something given. And we actually give authority to those people who have authority over us. Now, I tell you all this to set the stage for what's going on in today's gospel reading. Because Jesus is in the temple, and he is teaching. And the elders and the chief priests come up to him, and they want to know who gave him this authority. Who gave you the authority to be doing the things that you do, to be saying the things that you say? Now, given that they're asking Jesus this, it seems like a pretty easy question, but it's really not. It's sort of like if I asked you, have you quit stealing from your mother yet? If you answer yes, well, then that means that you were stealing from your mother. And if you say no, that means you haven't stopped stealing from your mother yet, right? There's no good answer there. Well, the same applies to what they're asking Jesus. Because if Jesus says, well, God gave me this authority, well, then he's a blasphemer. Because who can claim to have to give authority but God alone? But if Jesus says, well, I do this by my own authority, well, then basically everything he says is worthless. Because you can't give yourself authority, even though we try. And so Jesus, being the ever clever Messiah that he is, actually turned and asked them a question very similar. What about John the Baptist? Was his baptism from God? Well, the elders and chief priests also found themselves in an unanswerable question. And so they said, we don't know. So Jesus said, fine, I ain't gonna tell you either. But Jesus did proceed to tell a parable. Now, this is a pretty interesting parable, isn't it? Short, sweet, and to the point. Father has two sons, comes up to the first son, says, "Hey, I want you to go and work in the vineyard today." And he says, "Nope, I don't think so, Dad." And so the father walks off. And then the son thinks, "Well, you know, on second thought, I think I will." And then the other son says, "Sure, of course I'll go." And then doesn't go. So which one's more faithful? In other words, which one allowed the father to have authority over him? The first one, right? And so that means we have to ask ourselves, okay, who are we in this story? Are we the first son who say no to God and then go ahead and do it anyway? Or are we the second son who say, "Of course we will," and then don't? Because that's who the elders and chief priests were, right? They were the ones who were supposed to be the representatives of God on earth. They were the faithful ones. They're the ones that everybody looked to and said, "That's who I want to be in terms of my faith." Because they talked a good game, didn't they? Well, what we learn is talk is cheap. You see, I ask you a similar question to what we've been talking about today. Who is your authority? So you have two options here. The first one is God. And if God is your authority, well, then you should probably be living your life a little differently, shouldn't you? But if you say that you are your own authority, well, that doesn't make you much of a Christian then, does it? So this is a tough question for us to answer, isn't it? But it is a decision that we all have to make. Now, rest assured, I'm not saying that we're deciding between heaven and hell here. One of the more interesting things about this parable is the end, where he says the tax collectors and prostitutes will go into the kingdom ahead of you. He doesn't say instead of you. He says ahead of you. Why? Because the elders and chief priests had assumed authority of their own. They felt like they were the ones in charge. They felt like they were the ones who could make all the calls. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, who do you let make the calls in your life? Do you make all your own calls? Or do you listen to the Word of God? There's only one way for us to figure that out, my friends. It's we have to actually stop and give pause to who it is that we follow and what it is that we believe. There's a lot of division that goes on in our world right now, and most of us, if not all of us, are on one side or the other, because that's just the world we live in, right? But in order to realize whose authority you're allowing, you have to ask yourself why you have the opinion that you have. And if that opinion, if that thought, if that belief is on the side of love, well then, God is your authority. But if that a thought, if that's opinion, if that is not showing love, if it's because that's what benefits me the most, if it's because that's what I think it ought to be, that's what's best for me, that's what's best for my kids, that's what's best for my family, that's what's best for my house, if that's what's best for what I think, then God is not your authority, my friend. You see, we decide who the authorities are going to be in our life. And if we choose for God to be that authority, then our lives most definitely will change. Our thoughts, our beliefs, our opinions will most definitely be impacted, shaped, and molded by that authority. Because with that authority, we don't come first. With that authority, our neighbor comes before us. Our God comes before us. The world comes before us. So we must ask ourselves, who is your authority? Because if God is your authority, you will have faith that will change your life. And that faith will change the world. So who is your authority? Amen.